It's time now for Wellness Wednesday, a program featuring health professionals from our area medical facilities discussing a variety of topics concerning your well-being. Wellness Wednesday is a weekly feature on Q92 Radio.
And welcome to another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. We're going to visit this morning with Lisa Kuchemeister from Johnson Memorial Health Services and Madison Health Care Services, right, Lisa?
Correct.
Both places.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the studios today.
Thanks for having me again.
What is your official title up at both places?
I'm a mental health therapist.
Okay. And what exactly does a mental health therapist do, Lisa?
Oh, provide therapy for depression, anxiety, PTSD, numerous other mental health concerns.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. And we have a very serious topic to talk about today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right. I'm going to just turn it over to you. We're going to talk about suicide today. What are some facts about suicide, Lisa?
Well, some facts are every 12 minutes, one person will die from suicide in the United States. Mm. The suicide rate for individuals with serious mental illness and mood disorders, such as depression or bipolar disorder, is 25 times that of the general public. Males tend to take their own lives at nearly four times the rate of females and represent 77.9% of all suicides. It is the second leading cause of death in people ages 15 to 34. And statistics show that suicidal thoughts, plans, and attempts increase between ages 18 through 25.
Wow, those are some big numbers there, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, so, they wow. are.
Lisa, define suicide. What's the definition of that?
Suicide is actually the intentional ending of your own life.
Okay.
Suicide does not discriminate. Individuals of all genders and ages and ethnicities can be at risk. Suicidal behavior is complex, and there is actually no single cause. Various factors contribute to someone making a suicide attempt, and those main risk factors are depression and other mental disorders or substance abuse disorders, certain medical conditions, chronic pain, a prior suicide attempt, family history of a mental disorder or substance abuse, family history of suicide, family violence, including physical or sexual abuse, easy access to guns or other weapons, having recently been released from prison or jail, and being exposed to others' suicidal behavior, such as that of family members, peers, or celebrities. Numerous individuals have some of these risk factors but never attempt suicide. It is important to note that suicide is not a normal or ordinary reaction to stress. Suicidal thoughts or actions are a sign of extreme distress, not an act for attention, and should never be ignored.
Mm. Lisa, what are the warning signs that you see?
There is actually a long list of warning signs, and I want to share all of them because they are all important. They include talking about wanting to die or to kill oneself, looking for a way to kill oneself, such as searching online or buying a gun, talking about feeling hopeless or having no reason to live, talking about feeling trapped or in unbearable pain, talking about being a burden to others, increasing the use of alcohol or drugs, behaving recklessly, changing eating and or sleeping habits, withdrawing from family and friends or feeling isolated, showing rage, excessive agitation, or talking about seeking revenge, displaying extreme mood swings and losing interest in things or losing the ability to experience pleasure. Giving away important possessions, saying goodbye to friends and family, and creating a will can also be warning signs. And some additional warning signs are lack of a support network, unusual neglect of personal appearance, difficulty concentrating or a decline in the quality of schoolwork, frequent complaints about physical symptoms, often related to emotions, such as stomach aches, headaches, fatigue, etc., and not tolerating praise or rewards. If you notice any of these warning signs, you can help. An acronym that can be helpful to remember these warning signs is FACTS. F-A-C-T-S. F stands for feelings, such as expressing hopelessness about the future. A is for actions, displaying severe, overwhelming pain or distress. C is changes, showing worrisome behaviors or marked changes in behavior, including withdrawal from friends, changes in social activities, anger, hostility, or changes in sleep patterns. T is for threats, talking or writing about death, or making plans for suicide. And S is situations, experiencing stressful situations, including those that involve loss, change, personal humiliation, or getting into trouble at home, in school, or with the law can serve as triggers for suicide. If these warning signs apply to you or someone you know, get help as soon as possible, particularly if the behavior is new or has increased recently.
Okay, Lisa, you know, suicide seems to have a stigma to it. Is there a stigma to suicide?
Yes, suicide does have a stigma or shame to it that needs to be addressed. According to the American Counseling Association, a lot of people will actually think about suicide at some point in their lives, including youth. Sometimes when people become overwhelmed with their struggles, they may feel trapped, helpless, or hopeless. And many times, those experiencing suicidal ideation just want to stop feeling miserable. People experiencing suicidal thoughts will all have a different story. But it is important to remember that regardless of what they are feeling, they are likely having a hard time seeing or believing that things could ever be better. So if you are worried that someone is experiencing suicidal feelings, it is very important to try connecting with them. Sometimes people tell us things in confidence and ask us to promise not to tell anyone. But keeping the secret of suicide does not help anyone. Safety must take priority. Suicide is preventable.
I know in my life, a few times, you know, I had family or a friend maybe considering suicide, and it was a really difficult topic. How to address that? It was difficult for me. I remember doing that. So are there ways to address the topic of suicide with someone?
Yes, and it is very normal to feel anxiety and discomfort when approaching someone for whom you are concerned. Just remember, the goal is to not take away the person's problem or to have all the right answers. The goal is to show honest compassion. A few ways to show this is by these examples. Notice by saying, "I've noticed that you've been," and then state the specific behavior or language that is concerning to you. It will show that you're paying attention, and then ask, "Is everything okay?" Keep them safe. Reduce access to lethal items or places. Reducing a suicidal person's access to highly lethal items or places is an important part of suicide prevention. Show that you care by saying, "I'm concerned. This is not typical for you. You are important to me." And let the person know that you care and validate the experiences or feelings he or she shares with you. Listen carefully and acknowledge their feelings and learn what the individual is thinking and feeling. Sometimes when people are feeling lonely and depressed, they think about suicide. And you can say, "Are you thinking about suicide?" Asking directly about suicidal feelings does not encourage people to think about suicide or put ideas into their head. If someone tells you that they are suicidal, it is time to act, even if they have asked you to keep it a secret. And depending on the age of the individual, you may even want to alter your wording. For example, you could say to a younger person, "Do you ever think about dying, or do you ever think about hurting yourself?"
Yeah. How about young people? How can you deal with young people about suicidal thoughts?
If the person happens to be a youth, then you can say to the youth, "Well, let's talk to your parents and come up with a plan together." Always wrap up with an action plan that can be followed together. You'll likely take the lead on this, especially if this is the first time the youth is disclosing his or her thoughts of suicide. After listening to him or her, talking to the parents should be the first step. And then follow up. Checking in with the youth will help to reduce the stigma and will open the door for future conversations. By starting this conversation, you will create an open environment and encourage him or her to come to you in times of stress. Studies have shown the number of suicide deaths goes down when someone follows up with an at-risk person. Dealing with a suicidal person of any age can be quite overwhelming and stressful. You may find it beneficial to talk about your own experience in the situation also. Hearing that someone is thinking of suicide is tough, and reaching out for your own support is just as important.
All right, if you're just tuning in to Wellness Wednesday here on Q92 or visiting with Lisa Kuchenmeister, Lisa is a mental health therapist at Johnson Memorial Health Services and Madison Healthcare Services. And Lisa, a very important subject we're discussing here. Let's talk about the mental health concerns, maybe cultivating a safe environment to talk about.
Exactly. And how you respond to an individual who is showing signs of emotional distress or a potential problem is important. Always remember that it is not your job to fix the situation. Your role is to be patient and supportive, listen and encourage them to get the help that they need, even if you don't fully understand the problem or its severity. Beyond that, openly talking about resources in the community is also important. Sometimes just listening and letting them know that they are not alone is the best you can do.
So, Lisa, what are some of the key points you can make in a conversation with someone?
Sure. First, simply say, we all go through tough or scary times. Sometimes people think that they are the only ones who struggle with life's challenges. Helping them to grasp the reality that we all struggle at different points in life and that their concerns are warranted will reduce the stigma of reaching out for help. Then you can also say, it's okay to ask for help. By saying this, you are normalizing that we all need help sometimes. And say, I'm here for you. From the beginning, it is important to let the individual know that you are available to listen without judgment. Sometimes people just need to feel heard. And then help them connect. Save the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline's number and the Crisis Text Line's number to your phone so it's there if you need it. You can also help make a connection with a trusted individual like a family member, friend, spiritual advisor, or a mental health professional. I will be including a list of resources at the end of this interview.
What are some steps people can take when dealing with crisis management or maybe have a safe planning?
Sure. Safety planning has been shown to help reduce suicidal thoughts and actions. Individuals can work with a caregiver or someone they trust to develop a plan that describes what to do in the event of a crisis. The safety plan should include identifying early warning signs, such as thoughts, images, moods, behaviors, or situations that a crisis might be happening. Then, when things are really breaking down, what coping strategies can the individual do to distract and take their mind off their problems and feel calm? Well, who are some people they can call and ask for help? Who are some professionals that they can call and ask for help? Things he or she needs to do to make their environment safe, and the two biggest reasons for living. In the event of a crisis, create a calm environment. Gather information about the crisis, normalize the individual's feelings, ensure safety, involve caregivers if possible, develop an intervention, support coping with immediate stressors, and engage and coordinate with others to take steps to help manage any possible future crises.
Now, I know there's a lot of resources when it comes to suicide. Can you tell us a few of them, Lisa?
Absolutely. Having access to a list of mental health providers and or agencies in your area is very important. And here are also a few resources and phone numbers to call for services in the event of needing to use them. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is at 800-273-TALK or 8255 and www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. The Crisis Text Line's number is 741741. You Matter at www.youmatter.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Your Life, Your Voice at 1-800-448-3000. Or www.yourlifeyourvoice.org. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is afsp.org. And remember, 911 is best for urgent safety concerns. You can also make an appointment with me, Lisa Kuchenmeister, for any mental health needs. I am located at Johnson Memorial Health Services at 769-4394 and Madison Healthcare Services at 598-7551. Let's work together and fight the stigma.
Well, Lisa, thank you. That's a lot of information there, but a very important information that we all need, right?
Yes.
So if someone's listening and have suicidal thought, I just want to encourage you to give Lisa a call at Johnson Memorial Health Services, right? Or Madison Healthcare Services. Right? What would you say to someone, Lisa, that's listening that maybe is thinking about this?
Help is out there. Mm-hmm. Just ask for help. It's okay to ask for help.
Okay, very good. And what's that number again if people want to reach you, Lisa? Go ahead.
At Johnson Memorial Health Services, it's 769-4394, and Madison Healthcare Services at 598-7551.
Thanks, Lisa, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yep. That's Lisa Kuchenmeister, a mental health therapist at Johnson Memorial Health Services and Madison Healthcare Services. And this has been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.
Join us every week at this time for Wellness Wednesday on Q92. Find out what's happening at our area medical facilities, get to know the people who work there, and pick up some tips on how you can live a healthier life.